This is West Southwest on WMUK. I'm Earlene McMichael. Climbing a 30-foot flagpole is not something to take lightly. In a few seconds, we hear from Bree Newsom, who made national headlines in 2015 when she climbed the flagpole in front of South Carolina's state capitol building and lowered the Confederate flag from in front of its state house. Newsom was arrested and fined. South Carolina's then-Governor Nikki Haley decided to permanently remove the flag. Bree Newsom will share her story on Wednesday, January 17th in Grand Rapids as part of MLK Day events at Grand Valley State University. Well, welcome to WMUK.
Thank you for having me on.
At the time that you climbed the flagpole to get down the Confederate flag in 2015, what motivated you to do that?
Well, I think there was both a personal motivation and there was also, you know, a moment that we were in as a nation, particularly, I think, in the South. I, at that time, was living in Charlotte, North Carolina, but half of my family comes from South Carolina. I have ancestors who were enslaved in South Carolina. You know, my grandmother, growing up, she told me about, you know, her experiences of racism and witnessing the Ku Klux Klan, you know, beat one of her neighbors. I have a great uncle who was lynched. So this is something that I was always conscious of. And I was also always, you know, aware of the Confederate flag's presence in South Carolina and what it symbolized and the history of it. You know, this was a flag that was raised in 1961 during the height of the civil rights movement, really in response to the sit-in protests that were going on at the time and increasing pressure to desegregate. And so, you know, it was never really unclear what the flag symbolized. And so then when we arrived at the moment in 2015 where we had, you know, a white supremacist go into Mother Emanuel and murder nine black parishioners simply because they were black.
And that's in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yes, in Charleston, South Carolina. And, you know, of course, one of the victims who was the pastor of the church was also a state representative. And, you know, there was just this moment where, you know, his casket is being paraded through the streets of Columbia, South Carolina, and the United States flag was lowered to half staff. The flag of South Carolina was lowered to half staff, but the Confederate flag is still at the top of the pole because of this law, you know, saying that the flag could not be lowered for any reason unless there was two-thirds majority in the state house approval of that. So it was just a moment that in so many ways encapsulated everything that we had been talking about when we were saying Black Lives Matter. I personally really became involved in activism following the Trayvon Martin case and the attack on voting rights in North Carolina. So, you know, this was an ongoing thing. Obviously, it wasn't simply about this one moment, but this one moment where we had had this horrible massacre, you know, at a church, this hate crime. And the amount of energy and focus that was going into a debate over whether or not we could even lower a flag to half staff.
I guess what I'm trying to wrap my mind around is not everyone is willing to sacrifice self for the movement. There's something, you know, just kind of took you over the edge that you said, hey, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say there's a number of factors. So I was arrested once before participating in a sit-in over the voting rights issue in North Carolina. They were passing, you know, this horrible bill that was just very obvious that the goal was to disenfranchise black voters. And, you know, at that time when I was considering, you know, participating in the sit-in, I kind of had to confront this idea, which I had, you know, never in my life up to that point, you know, would have never considered putting myself in a position to be arrested, you know, deliberately putting myself at risk of being arrested. But I think what was a turning point for me.
When was that sit-in, by the way, the first one that you were in?
That was 2013.
I see.
So the same summer that George Zimmerman was acquitted for killing Trayvon Martin, North Carolina introduced this monster voter suppression bill. And so I think for me, kind of looking at that moment and, you know, here we had kind of like a modern day Emmett Till on one hand and then a new attack on voting rights on the other, it just caused me to question, like, how much am I taking for granted? You know, and then when there came that moment where I was like, okay, am I willing to put myself at, you know, physical risk or at risk of being arrested? I really had to recognize how the rights that I have today are a direct result of people who were willing to make that sacrifice. You know, I don't necessarily think it's a sacrifice that everyone has to make, you know, or that everyone chooses to make. But it was a moment that I came to, and I personally felt that, you know, in coming to the moment of removing the flag, here I am in a position where I do believe that it's the right thing to do, and I'm capable of doing it. You know, who am I not to?
But you chose that as a particular way of expressing this call for change in your mind. Did you think that it's because that would have the most impact?
Yes, absolutely. So I think one of the strategic uses of direct action, nonviolent direct action, you know, kind of in the form that I did with removing the flag, is that it can serve as a flashpoint. It can serve as really kind of creating a moment that symbolizes what the entire struggle is about, right? So, for instance, the decision of four students from Greensboro to go in and sit at a lunch counter in Woolworth. Obviously, you know, the protest over the ability to sit at the lunch counter in itself is not the entire issue at you know, that's not the entirety of everything that's at issue in the civil rights movement, obvious. But the visual, the action of sitting in a space that you're told that you cannot sit in, the response that it provokes, the media that it attracts and how it draws attention and exposes the reality of racial injustice, you know, that's what makes it an effective moment of protest. And I think the same was true in this instance with the Confederate flag. Here's a symbol. This symbolizes slavery. This symbolizes the Confederacy. This symbolizes anti-civil rights. And here in this moment, for me as a Black woman to scale the pole and to symbolize this prolonged and protracted struggle to dismantle this system of racism and white supremacy, and then to have James Tyson, who was the other activist who was arrested along with me, you know, for him to stand at the bottom and just kind of symbolize and create a visual of what it means and what it looks like to end racism, really. Now, that's symbolically what it means, but also practically it was an issue of taking the flag down. The state says that, you know, oh, we can't lower the flag for this reason and for that reason, but the law itself is unjust, because when the flag was first raised, it was raised at a time where Black people didn't even have the ability to really participate in the government. So it's also a direct action. It's also an act of civil disobedience challenging an unjust law.
We're talking to Bree Newsom on West Southwest. Newsom made headlines 2 years ago for climbing a flagpole in South Carolina's state capitol and lowering the Confederate flag. Newsom's actions came within days of a white supremacist shooting 9 people at a Black church in Charleston, South Carolina. How has this changed your life? And how do you feel about the impact that your action has taken?
Well, one thing, I honestly wouldn't give myself credit for starting a movement, because there had long been protests around the Confederate flag in South Carolina. In the time leading up to the time that I lowered the flag, people had begun tagging Confederate monuments. So it was already kind of something that was going on, but I think that particular moment,
it was something that brought it over the edge.
The way that it was done. Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's true. In terms of how it's changed my life, I think it has definitely given me more of a platform, you know, to speak. Because, I mean, one of the first questions, of course, was people like, who are you and why did you do that? Why did you choose to do that? And so it has given me an opportunity to speak more to the issues of, you know, structural racism and how do we really create a multiracial democracy that has not yet existed in this country. I mean, when, you know, Martin Luther King talks about the dream and everything, I mean, that's a large part of what he's talking about. And the reality is that we have still not achieved that.
And it should be noted that you are a filmmaker. You've won a number of awards. Has your filmmaking changed since this? The way that you do your activism, has this changed in any way?
I would say somewhat. I think that I am much more conscious now of the interaction between art and media and symbology and activism and cultural shifting and just the importance of how, you know, changing ideas and changing mindsets is really essential. And I think that really precedes policy change, you know, or you know, changing our culture or changing our habits. I think that that comes first. And so I'm thinking more consciously now about how I'm using media, how am I using my, you know, artistic abilities to, you know, to draw attention to these same issues, but in a more conscious way. You know, it's not simply, okay, I'm an activist over here, and then over here, I'm an artist. One of the things that I've been thinking about particularly lately is the importance of documentation. And I know I'm not the only one that's, you know, talking about this at this time, but I think it's really important. You know, a lot of what we know and understand about the civil rights movement is because of documentation that happened at that time. And that is such a key thing for us to do.
Is that what you see the role of your filmmaking doing now, providing documentation of what's going on?
I think that's definitely a part of it. And I want to do it more. You know, I've been present for a lot of really incredible moments, but wasn't necessarily thinking of myself as, you know, documenting in that time. And now I'm thinking that that is probably a more conscious thing I want to do.
Well, we are pretty much at our time, but I do want to ask one last question. You know, what should we take away from all of this and your activism? What advice do you offer to us?
So the thing that I kind of ask everyone, I ask everyone to kind of just examine what's at stake in our time. You know, what is at stake in terms of our civil rights, our civil liberties, and to really ask themselves, what can they do as individuals? And that doesn't mean as an individual, like you don't work with other people, but within your capacity, within what you have, what can you do to advance that cause of justice? I think sometimes people have this image that activism or making change only looks one certain way. You know, it only looks like getting arrested. It looks like having confrontations with the police. But the reality is that movement and that cultural change really requires millions of people in millions of places doing millions of things at the same time. It looks like the changes that are happening in Hollywood right now, for instance, people using the platform and the power that they have to push for change in various industries. So I just ask everyone to, you know, examine what you have. Part of, you know, again, why I chose to scale the pole, I'm blessed with being physically able to do that. And I also have a background in media, and I was able to kind of, you know, think about how this moment could create a visual, could create a new symbol of liberation. So that was me using, you know, what I have in terms of my assets. But everyone has gifts and talents and assets that they are blessed with that they can apply to the cause of justice.
You've been listening to activist and filmmaker Bree Newsom, who renewed debate about Confederate flags and monuments. Newsom gives a keynote address on Wednesday, January 17th at 4:30 p.m. at Grand Valley State University. For links, go online to wmuk.org. For WMUK's West Southwest, I'm Earlene McMichael.